Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. How about all those people who thought we were jinxing the Blues with this music yesterday?
Maybe this is why they won, because we played it yesterday.
How about all those people, oh, you can't take a picture with Stanley Cup?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Huh. All right, let's get the play-by-play from where you guys were at the moment. Now, you were up late because you had five eggs at 1:30 in the morning.
I had five, scrambled eggs with some savory seasoning and some dill, just a hint of dill. Cook them up on the skillet for about 2.5 minutes. I like mine a little bit runnier, even with scrambled eggs. I like mine just, I don't like them dried out.
And you were eating this because you were so pumped up after the game you couldn't sleep? Or no?
I hit the pillow and I'm like, I really need just something in my stomach, ate dinner about 9:30, but still, that's 4 hours ago, and I like to celebrate in different ways, so I got kind of hungry there toward the latter part of the first overtime, and made myself some scrambled eggs. They could not have been better, and it was a perfect way to get 2.5 hours of sleep.
And you're watching at home with your gal?
My gal actually had to work at the post, and my goal was to go there at the second period. The first period was so good, I just could not make the 25-minute drive. I did not want to miss a second of that game.
How about you, Brian?
I was at the house. The wife and I have started a little playoff tradition. I'm not sure if I mentioned it on this show. I've mentioned it on the Midday Grind before. A friend of mine went to Australia in November, and he brought back with him a miniature didgeridoo. It's about the size of a lead pipe. So what we've been doing is whenever the Blues score, I hop out on the deck, and I blow the didgeridoo in celebration of the goal being scored. So I had it with me in preparation for the on the couch, bloodshot, terrified of worst case scenario, almost anticipating it at that point in time. And then when they scored, I ran outside and at 11 o'clock, I blew the didgeridoo on our deck.
Wow.
Didn't really care if I woke the neighbors or not. I figured that was, they should have been watching anyways.
My apartment complex seems to be anti-Blues with the people that live there. It's a small complex. I was the only, I felt like everybody's windows open. It was kind of a nice evening up until it rained. So the game ended. I am freaking out right when that Pat Maroon tipped it in. And I thought I'd hear more of a reaction throughout that complex. I didn't hear a peep. And I was kind of disappointed. And I'm going to judge them from here on out.
That's good. I appreciate that. I had kind of an interesting experience.
You got a nice crowd shot of it.
Yeah, here's what happened is, as Martin and Charlie will attest and Doug, sometimes the greatest moments in St. Louis sports history, we are like either stuck in a runway about ready to do interviews and watching on a little screen, or we're like in the press box where it's sterile and you can't clap and it's just you're so far away you have to take the guy's word for it, you're actually at the game. So anyway, last night I had to go back to do the 10. And then after the first overtime, I just got in my car and, got back for the start of the second overtime. And instead of going up to the press box, I just went to this one little section where the ushers are really nice guys. He says, yeah, you're fine right here. And just watched it from down low. It's just – and then when that happened, I'm high-fiving with 10 people I don't even know.
And And you know, you've watched plenty of sporting events on television. It's hard to kind of tell sometimes the crowd volume.
Yeah.
You could tell with the camera that it was erupting, but it's hard to tell on TV how loud it got. I mean, there were plenty of opportunities. You know, three quarters of that game, the St. Louis Blues were on the offensive zone. So how was the atmosphere? Were people standing the whole overtime? It's hard to judge.
It would remind me of like a college basketball game like at Kansas or Duke. That second overtime, I didn't see anybody standing.
Amazing.
And let me tell you something, nobody left. I think a Tuesday night, kids going to school, next, nobody was leaving. They would regret it for the rest of their freaking lives. All right, we got an unbelievable show lined up. Doug Armstrong, 10:30. Joey Vitale is going to join us at 11 o'clock. Martin will be here at 11. Eddie Olczyk, NBC Sports, 11:30. And then Strick will be with Martin at 12 o'clock. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And let's begin with lap one. So last night there were three things that came out of that victory. Number one, and the biggest, is the ticket to the Western Conference Final. And now just eight wins away from the parade right next to Channel 5. Uh-huh. Number two, a Blues moment. And perhaps the best Blues game ever. We'll debate that in just a moment. And number three, well, we probably have a new opening very soon on the press box.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in.
Let's go.
They score! It's the St. Louisan. Pat Maroon, bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends him to the conference finals. A 2-1 win in double overtime over the Dallas Stars.
Wow, good work by Chris. In many ways, too, that sequence was a Doug Armstrong goal. He was the GM/president who actually wanted Pat Maroon when others shied away. He was the executive on July 1st who thought it would be a good idea to acquire Tyler Bozak. And then we have the Robert Thomas story. We had Doug with us, I think it was at Lester's, maybe 18 months ago. And I said, of all the guys in the organization, who's the one guy that you would bet your career on that he's going to be a player in this league? He didn't hesitate. Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas may have been the best player in the series. Robert Thomas may have been the best player on the ice last night, not named Ben Bishop. He's unbelievable. That line, they asked Pat Maroon the other day, if you're the big rig, who's Robert Thomas? The Ferrari. He is the Ferrari. All right, lap two. The goal itself. I think we just have to hear it again one more time.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in. They score! It's the St. Louisan. Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends him to the conference finals. A 2-1 win in double overtime over the Dallas Stars.
It's JK. I mean, it's just, I don't even know what to say. There's so many highs right now, so many emotions. I'm just so happy the boys won. We grinded this one out, and we deserve to win tonight. And I'm happy our line got that one. That, I don't know how this one hits, but I dreamt of this my whole life, and I got it done.
Just imagine his life. Finally gets home, has a chance to realize a dream. Put on the Blue Note sweater. His son, Anthony, will get to see him play every night. That's one of the main reasons, let's face it. His fiancée, Francesca, Charlie Gito's lovely granddaughter, and a huge sports fan, I know she's listening right now, in fact, gets to watch her fiancée play for her team. She's the biggest Blues fan in town. But a funny thing happened to Pat on trying to become David Freese. He stumbled. He had three goals in 34 games. You remember all the talk? This is a bad fit. This is just not going to work out. He's too slow. He's not playing with Connor McDavid anymore. He's not scoring 27 goals with this group. And for sure, he's one and done. Well, if Pat Maroon is not wearing a Blue Note sweater next season, there should be an investigation. And then down the stretch, he catches fire. The line clicks. And he has a moment like last night. Anthony is right there in the locker room with him afterwards. David Freese may have had a slightly better moment, although very similar. But I imagine it would have been better if David Freese would have had his son join him in the clubhouse, like Pat had last night with his boy. Number 7, Game 7, May 7th, in a game that started at 7 or so. I mean, you could make a movie out of it, or 30 for 30. Never forget it. Lap 3. Greatest Blues games. Okay, I know that we are prisoner of the moment kind of sportscasters, all right? We know that. But remember that miracle, that Monday Night Miracle? Yeah, that usually wins the debate. That was Game 6, okay? And Blues lost that series in Game 7. It's almost like the Pujols homer in Houston. They ended up losing that series. And in terms of the game, that Monday Night Miracle wasn't that great until the end. It was unbelievable. We have the Ron Schock moment. We have the Mike Crombeen goal. Pierre Turgeon goal. Mike Claiborne and I were talking about that today. That was an overtime goal in a Game 7. Somewhere, the Cesar Maniago goal, where it went off of him and the Blues won. But last night, double overtime. And in a game where one St. Louis kid makes 52 saves and another scores the game winner. And you're in the conference final. After the game, we chatted with Alex Pietrangelo on how long it's going to stay with him.
Yeah, I'll tell my kids first, and then they'd be oh my goodness. Yeah, exactly. It's pretty cool. I think a lot of people, me included, parents are here and wife's here, and it's cool when everybody's got the family time at this time of the year to get a win like that.
Wow. All right. Lap 3. Or is this? No, this is lap 4. Lap 4, yeah. Okay.
Sleep deprived.
Yeah, absolutely. Some behind-the-scenes stuff. Best hug of the night, Tom Stillman, who, by the way, is so understated. And he just wants to stay out of the limelight, but he loves his team, so he went into that locker room afterwards. And he gave Pat Maroon a hug you'll never forget. Two kind of St. Louis guys enjoying an unbelievable St. Louis moment. Shortly after that, the biggest Blues fan of them all, John Hamm, comes into the locker room. Mike Caruso was about to usher him out, and I said, John, do you have a minute? He said, yeah, sure. And then he gave us a thoughtful 5-minute interview with the group.
It's amazing how accommodating he is when they win.
You're right. Let's take a listen.
So many high fives. When you're remotely recognizable, I guess, everyone wants to high-five you, so you're kind of like, it's very difficult to determine how many high-fives you have to deal out, but it was great. It was the succession in so many close calls that actually finally went through, and then when it went through, it was like, okay, we did it.
Wow. That's just so great. All right, let's try lap 5. How about Jordan Binnington? He even said a word about this. He's a goaltender who just played in a double overtime game and he gave up one goal. And that one really wasn't his fault.
Kind of a fluke goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, he wasn't tested as much in the second and third. Shots on goal in the second period, 18-1 in favor of the Note. I wonder how many times that has happened. 18-1. You know, sometimes they say it's easier to play when you're seeing shots. You know, you stay sharper. I don't know. I think I'd rather not see shots. The less shots you see, the less chance the other team has of scoring. The save on Jamie Benn. How about Jay Bouwmeester? Made that season-ending, season-saving save on Rupe Hintz.
And then what, Jimmy Benn almost put one in double overtime that Bennington just got enough to get mad of.
And with that one, there was a no call. I'm glad there was a no call. I like them playing it. But you could see Zuccarello get lit up by I'm not for sure what Blues player before the puck touches sticks, which would be interference right in front of that crease. Blues got lucky there, but Bennington played out of his mind.
And as much of a basketball guy as I am, I admit, NHL sudden death game seven, it's best thing in sports.
It can't be.
Because at any second, if one player has just a little lapse in concentration, boom, the series is over. Oh, boy. So Bennington was brilliant. Let's hear from him and about him.
Yeah, there were a couple moments where you just took a second and you realized where you were. And, you know, it was pretty special. And, you know, I'm happy to be a part of it. And I'm happy we got to win in front of the home crowd here.
Yeah, no, but they did have some real good opportunities at times. And our goalie did a great job making those saves. And that's not an easy thing to do. I thought Binner had a remarkable game. I really did. You know, when you don't get a lot of work at times, and then all of a sudden there's a spurt of, you know, some chances that they got, it's tough to stay sharp. And he did. He did a great job.
Boy. Lap six. Stream of consciousness. I tell you what, the Cardinals, give them credit. They have a sense of timing. They're going to play their worst game of the year when nobody freaking cares or watches. I mean, if there ever was a time to lay an egg, it was last night, 11-1. And boy, I had to edit some of the highlights, so I saw some of it, not all of it, those errors. Paul Goldschmidt made an error. Colton Wong made an error. They both may end up with gold gloves. Brian, I guess the disturbing thing was Dakota Hudson.
I'm telling you, you need a starter.
Yeah.
You need to root against Toronto, root against Cleveland. That's because it's more so than just an okay starter. I think you need a near top of the rotation guy to solidify the rotation, and that's where Stroman or Trevor Bauer come in.
Now, would Hudson go to AAA to be a starter? Would they put him in the bullpen?
He can do either.
I didn't know.
I'd probably send him down.
Yeah, send him down, and then eventually bring him back in the bullpen.
I just think it's clear, even when he's good, he's still only a five-inning guy.
Yes.
And it's not nothing against him. It's part of the natural development, but I don't think you're in a position to wait this out either, because there's a lot of – it's not just a Hudson question mark. There's a Waka question mark. There's a Wainwright question mark going into August and September. So you need periods in your rotation, and you have that with Michaelis and Flaherty. You need more.
The Brewers have drawn even with the Cardinals. The Cubs are losing, so the Cardinals are still only a half game out. Interesting line, though, for Hudson – he gave up 8 runs, but only 2 of them were earned, but he still wasn't sharp. The 3 strikeouts, 3 walks is just not a good thing.
Still has issues with lefties.
Yeah, and Luke Gregerson, God bless him, he'll probably get another chance, but probably not many more if he pitches like that last night. They actually play a day game today, and on the hill for the Cardinals will be maybe their ace, Jack Flaherty. This game will be at 12:15 at Busch Stadium. So, did you watch any of the Cardinal game?
I call it the first inning. That was about it. I was following it, and then once I saw that they were committing errors, and once Harper was up, admittedly, when he was up with the bases loaded, I just assumed the game was over, and it was.
For a lot of people getting on Harper, his power numbers were okay. He's got 7 home runs and 25 RBIs.
I think judging this 13-year contract in the first month and a half is a little extreme, but I understand people are on edge about the batting average.
Yeah.
I just think it was nice for the Cardinals to my joke was on Twitter that it was a race to try to see who can be removed first so who can go watch Game 7. Everyone was playing bad because they wanted out of that game to watch the Blues.
What was the crowd attendance?
Well, they announced the 38.
There's no way. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen what the crowd was like, say, in the fifth inning.
It's just no way.
When the game was over, you're probably an hour into the Blues game. At that point, it's, hey, you saw some baseball. Let's go to a bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I was offered tickets last night to the Cardinal game, and I said no. I said, I'd rather watch the Blues at home.
Yeah. All right. We want to get some thoughts from all of you. Like, exactly, like, what did you do the moment it happened? Were you at the game? Were you at home? Did you spill beer? Winning streak has our text line, 855-282-8255. Maryville University listener line, 855 202-8255. We have just an incredible guest list for you today. I don't know if any radio program is going to have this. We're going to talk with Doug Armstrong at 10:30. That's going to be good radio. We are going to talk at 11 o'clock with Joey Vitale and Martin Kilcoin. And then at 11:30, Eddie Olchek, one of the best in the business. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back after this.